Hello and welcome to the sixth ever Plebs on Footy podcast. As always, I'm joined by Scott. How you doing?
Wonderful to be here, Rory. Wonderful to be here.
Good to see you happy. Good to see you happy.
Thanks. And...
Shut up, Scott. And also, producer Liam.
Good to be here, boys. Ruse on top of the ladder. How about that one?
It is a fantastic feeling. First time since I was 4 years old. I'm just stoked. Don't really care about anything else.
You can definitely get me on a worse week than this, mate.
Last week when you lost to North Melbourne?
Exactly. But like, I'm not too flat right now. It doesn't make me want to kill myself.
You had a good win over a terrible team. Well done.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
But we will get to it.
We played some very good footy for a quarter and a half. We've almost had a really good month of footy.
Yeah, not too many teams are putting together four quarter efforts, so it's interesting. The teams that are winning seem to be doing it in bursts at the moment.
I suppose that could be a part of the high-scoring game, the modern high-scoring game.
Yeah, the interchange cap, the fatigue coming into it.
Possibly.
Can find their runs the longest?
Possibly, who knows. We're probably just getting the stage of the season. We're starting to see a few trends coming out.
We are.
I'd say most of them are probably negative at the moment. I feel like there are more teams who we're talking quite negatively about. There aren't so many who we're confident are very, very good.
Yeah, time. Not many teams are really asserting themselves as powerhouses of the competition at this stage.
No, especially North Melbourne.
That is pointed out by the fact that there's only one undefeated team, who are clearly the best in the league and going to win the Premiership.
Well, you know, there is a reason why no one seems to be talking about North Melbourne, despite the fact that you're undefeated.
It's because it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to win the flag.
You're an irrelevant football club. We all know that.
Okay, Scott. We've had the best player of all time play for us, and we've at least done something in my lifetime. Lee Matthews doesn't even think he's the best player of all time.
Okay, so it wasn't him. All right, Gary Ablett Jr. played for Geelong.
Gary Ablett Jr. was so good that he couldn't even win a premiership playing... Oh, Jr. Whoops. I thought you said senior.
Definitely went with Jr., mate. Anyway, get on to the tips, mate. Who's winning this?
Yeah, full credit to Scott. Full credit to Scott. He's up by two, 28 tips to 26.
I've got to be honest, I'm shocked it's only two. The way you've been backflipping left, right and centre, I thought you would have got a few off, but...
No, see, my reactions reflect the ongoing situation of the league, and I will storm ahead in the later rounds.
You're changing week to week. How can you be getting them right? Because if you change your mind, you must have got them wrong that week.
I'm judging them on form, Scott. And if you win, it doesn't necessarily mean you've impressed me.
What I will give you, you've had a couple of players. You picked Hall well, Duncan you picked well. He's done well on the players.
That's true. Duncan did well, except for the week he was flattened by Mummy. Other than that, he's been great.
He may have had a little bit of an excuse that week.
A little bit. Just a tad. A pretty big excuse if you look at him.
Good one, Rory.
I thought so, Scott. I'd appreciate a bit more support than you just flat saying good one. Just laugh a little.
Well, occasionally I'm impressed with you, but it's not all that often.
You're so shocked that you don't actually laugh. You just go, good one.
Well done, Rory. Well said.
God, you're a dick.
Anyway.
Let's move on to the football. Bit of a gold jacket, green jacket game to start the round.
I have to announce this as the gold jacket, green jacket of the league.
By popular demand from me... we're making it a new segment. Every week, Scott nominates a game as the gold jacket, green jacket game, which was pretty much worst of the round.
I thought about it for a good 5 seconds, and I reckon it has to be this one. This was everything we expected to happen here. And
absolutely.
There isn't all that much has come out of it, apart from, once again, let's talk about Richmond and Collingwood are terrible for another half an hour.
Oh, it's been a ongoing segment this year that... Richmond and Collingwood are underperforming. We'll stick to Richmond at this point in time.
We will.
Because I'll let you gloat about Melbourne when we talk about Collingwood. But
at the moment,
Richmond are just looking awful.
They certainly are. Cheers.
Unlike last week, they didn't dominate the ball this week. They were actually just beaten flat out all over the ground.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that's probably an even worse sign because... Just they made some interesting selection choices, and I don't think any of them came off as evidenced by the fact that they got walloped.
Can you please explain to me why Anthony Miles wasn't in the team?
I figure he's either done something in the team, like been a dick to someone, broken a team rule off the field, or he's just not listening to Hardwick at all.
You feel there has to be something like that.
Because it's got to be something.
The one thing that we actually agreed on last week, we argued a bit about Richmond, but the one thing we actually agreed on is that their issue is that they're getting a lot of uncontested possession. They have a lot of uncontested footballers.
Mm.
And their one genuine in and under midfielder who gets it at the coalface is Anthony Miles. You say Dustin Martin is probably... He's an excellent contested player, but he plays more ahead of the ball. He doesn't really get it at the coalface. Their one player who is a genuine inside player there is Anthony Miles. And they have to have missed him. We looked at the stats very early on. Yeah. It was Richmond were dominating disposals. The contested possessions, they were down about 10, and then they were up about 50 in uncontested possessions, and they were losing by 5 goals.
Yeah, and they had 8 inside 50s for the first half or something like that.
Yeah, well, that is...
That's ridiculous. That is
woeful.
You should be able to move the ball better. And, like, they're not getting any drive out of the contest. When they do win the contested ball, it's going sideways, allowing teams to zone back and block up the holes going forward. And when they're moving it from the back half, they're really struggling to transition from the half back flank to the forward, half forward flank. They're getting stuck there. Their actual rebound out of defensive 50 seems to be okay, mainly because their one good kick is Basher, who plays in the back half.
Yeah, and then they have that dud Brandon Ellis who can't kick, just running around getting uncontested possessions, as we know.
That's just inflammatory, Scott. I don't appreciate it. I know we're looking for banter this pod, but don't you say outright outrageous things.
He's terrible. He's awful.
He's not terrible. But yeah, they're really breaking down across the wings.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing you got to say with Richmond, I think they probably rely on their top-end talent more than any other team in the competition.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And this isn't an excuse, but they have a couple of important players out, and most teams would probably be able to handle that a bit better than them. So it's not an excuse, but it maybe gives Richmond supporters a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
It's obviously not an excuse because it's terrible that they haven't developed that depth. They haven't recruited well enough to have that depth. They haven't developed it.
Yeah.
But potentially, maybe with Delidio and Marich back internally, I give them more hope of turning it around than I do Collingwood.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think Delidio's huge out given where they're breaking down and where he plays, because he's very helpful for that transition into the forward 50. Like, he gets a lot of inside 50s, and his delivery inside 50 is excellent. Marich, I don't think, will fix all that many contested ball issues, just because he doesn't really get his first, he doesn't win a whole lot of hitouts. He doesn't get the first hand. He doesn't really help them get first use of the ball. What he will do is help their defensive work on the inside, because he's a big bash and crash ruckman who can contain the ball once it spills out a bit.
He's also a bit of a leader, just in terms having that presence in the middle there, and that helps. But, like, yeah, my main... I think the pressure has to be on Buckley a lot more than it does on Hardwick. That's my opinion. I think Richmond have a weaker list, and I think it's been weakened even more due to injury. And again, that's he has to take some blame for that fact that he has no depth. But
see, I'm not really sure who I think is under more pressure. Hardwick's had more success off his own back, and he's been able to build the list to a certain point. But
he's got them playing beyond what they're capable of.
Yeah, you say it, but it's been a very low ceiling that they've hit.
Yeah, but I honestly think that's the high ceiling they're able to get with their list.
Yeah, okay.
As I say, they have about 5 very good without being absolute star players, guys like Cochin and Delidio and that, and Martin. They're very, very good players. And then forward and back, they basically have Rance and Revolt. That's about it. And they're all very good players without being absolute stars. Outside of that, they don't have a lot of depth. Mm. And they've still managed to make finals a few years in a row. You have Hardwick some credit for that, and it seems to be falling down a little bit at the moment. But he's turned it around a couple of times the last couple of years. They've been in this position before.
Yeah, I think their defensive system's really breaking down at the moment. They were third ranked in defense last year, and they're conceding some really big scores at the moment. So I think that's a little bit of Hardwick's game plan going awry, but it's also their being smashed in the contested ball, so they're always on the back foot.
Yeah, absolutely. I can believe that. Looking at West Coast, I don't think we've learnt anything about them this year at all. They've done exactly what we expected them to be. We talked about them as flat track bullies. They have smashed down poor teams, and they have been their one test against Hawthorn. They just didn't make the chop. And I think everything we said about them at the start of the year seems to be coming true thus far.
Absolutely.
They'll still be all right.
Yeah,
they'll still probably finish top four, maybe even top two, and push it.
But yeah, I reckon their floor is about sixth, the way they're playing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
exactly
the worst I can say. Because
they'll win at home, and they'll get a good percentage.
They
smash
bad teams. I do think they've got a huge chance to prove themselves this weekend, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, absolutely.
On to the next game. Not a great game.
No.
Geelong, 9-18-72, defeated Essendon, 6-6-42. Bit of a misery to watch, to be honest. It was a shocker.
Yeah. I think with Geelong, there's a lot of... Geelong, there's a little bit of inconsistent talk about them, but there's a bit of negative talk coming out of this week. I think we need to get out of that habit of we judge an Essendon game based on if you don't annihilate them.
Yeah.
You had a terrible game. They're not that bad. John Worsfold's doing a very good job with them.
He is.
He's given them direction when it was a year which just looked completely directionless.
Yeah.
And you have to give him a lot of credit for that. Zaha Rakus and Zach Merritt.
They are on fire.
Are absolutely killing it.
They are destroying it.
They are killing it. So they're not at... You hear the stuff about a VFL seconds team and all
this
stuff.
I think
it's ridiculous.
I think I compared them to University at Fitzroy going into the year.
That sounds like the sort of thing you do.
May have been a little overzealous, but no, it was a shocking game of football. But interestingly, Geelong got absolutely belted at the Coalface. They had 11
occasionally
less,
don't they?
Yeah, they had 11 less clearances and 67 less touches overall. And just, I don't know, it's back to the Geelong of the last few years that have been pretty good without being great.
Yeah.
Like, they're pretty good around the ground. Their disposal and their ball movement forward allows them to keep them in games where they're losing the contested ball. But it stops them from really hitting that ceiling as a contending team, and I'm getting worried about them. We praised them after they smashed Hawthorn in that
area. Yeah,
we
all thought that was it.
We thought, danger's here, they've completely turned the corner. That extra A-grade midfielder pushing everyone down a rung has just completely revolutionised their midfield. But it's not looking that way. Danger's been a little flat. Well, he was never going to live up to that game since... he was never going to have 43 touches every game.
He's still been alright.
Yeah.
He's played pretty well.
He has, but like, he hasn't played as well as he did at Adelaide last year, I think.
He had a big dip in Adelaide last year to start his season off.
That's
worth remembering.
He dominated that game in the final and a couple of games late.
Mm.
And I think we've all just got to carry that on. That is dangerous. Like, he'll occasionally have an average, but he's been pretty good, man.
Yeah,
he's
don't know.
He's been pretty good.
He was pretty ordinary against GWS. He's just not been... I'm holding him to ridiculous standards here.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it.
But he's just... And I think a lot of people do, and I think quite rightly, given what he can do. And I just think he hasn't quite been where I expected.
Mate, danger's fault. But look, Geelong, I'm finding it hard to place them. But they annihilated in the last quarter. They got a pretty comfortable win in the end.
Yeah, and like,
they're sitting all right on the ladder. You can't say,
them off.
Write them off is the wrong word.
Yeah.
But you can't be too negative about them. You can't.
Yeah.
They're not doing as well as we perhaps hoped after round one.
But. Yeah, well, everyone anointed them after round one.
Yeah.
But they did kick 9-18, so it could have been a lot more.
Exactly.
And they smashed the inside 50s, so the game was played on their terms, even though they did lose all the clearances.
And Essendon are not as woeful as we came.
No,
we have this connotation on them.
I feel like if they lose the contested ball like that against good teams, they'll be ripped open because I don't think they've got the pace in the back half to stick with a lot of the really good teams. So it's a bit worrying going forward, but it's no real alarm bells ringing yet. They're 3-1.
They're a team with a question mark on them. I don't think we can quite judge them yet.
Yeah, they're a team we think are pretty good without knowing how good they are.
Yeah.
On to the next game, which was an absolute cracker of a game.
Saints.
Hawthorn 13-9-87 defeat St Kilda 13-6-84 in an absolute cracker of a game with some stinking umpiring.
Yeah, go for it, mate. Go for your rant.
I was just not happy with it. There was some really odd decisions. Like, I get it if someone misses a high tackle, an umpire misses a high tackle, an umpire misses a push in the back. That's just... The game's pretty frenetic. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
The umpires are human. But some of the not 15 calls, that was clearly a direction from the AFL to ping down on that. They've been doing it more this year. All of it's been happening in team when the team's in their defensive half. And I just...
That is odd.
I don't like it. It's putting teams under pressure for no reason when they haven't broken a rule. Like, St Kilda kicked 2 20-metre kicks that were both called play on and it cost them a goal. In a three-point game, that is the difference. And there was not only that, there were 2 free kicks that Hawthorn got where they clearly took advantage. There was a 5 second...
Yeah, people forget this.
There was a 5 second delay. The umpire waved advantage. They screwed up the kick. It got smothered. They turned the ball over. The umpire called it back. That's not the umpire's job. That decision has been taken out of their hands. It is the player's decision, and it cost St Kilda another 2 goals, and that turns a loss into a reasonably comfortable lead, or as comfortable a lead as you're going to get from Hawthorn.
Thing is, we need consistency. They brought in a few rule changes or interpretations this year, which I think are pretty positive.
Mm.
I think the deliberate, although there's always going to be a bad decision here or there, I think the deliberate has been a success.
Good for the game.
Absolutely. And it's because they've done it consistently every week. Not 15 and the protected zone stuff. They're doing that when they feel like it. It's not a rule of the week, as everyone seems to be saying. It's just they forget about it for a couple of weeks. That's what happens, and they get a tap on the shoulder, and they're like, hey, this is a rule we were trying to do this year. Hold on, we're all going again. Yeah. It's consistency that they need, and that's why it's frustrating everyone.
Yeah, it's been way too haphazard in its application. They're picking and choosing their moments to do it. And what really annoys me is that with the not 15 especially, they always do it from, like, kick-outs, and from situations where you're trying to control the ball in defensive 50 and work your way forward without risking too much. And they're just unnecessarily manipulating the game so that there's a loose ball in the forward 50 of one team.
Yeah.
And while that may lead to more goals, I don't think it's a prettier brand of football. I don't think it's good for the game.
Yeah, the reason they do that is they don't like it when a team has a kick out and they kick 10 metres sideways and they hold it up for a little bit and then they pass it again 10 metres sideways and it just gets locked down in there. They want a quick ball out of the back line. They want the game going again. I agree with you. Yeah. It's a strange term. It's a not 15 rule. You can't just manipulate it based on how you want the game to go. You need to be consistent across the whole field.
It's not like there are no guidelines. There are 10 metre grass cuts.
Let's hope those lawn mowing men
guys are
doing a good job.
But, like, there are guidelines there for the umps, and they're just not paying any attention to them at all. And it's just frustrating.
They're not
to
consistently
watch.
Paying attention to them. That's the problem. Anyway. If they did it every week, I wouldn't have an issue with it. It's the fact that they pull them out in one game and change a game where you haven't seen it the previous 2 weeks. That's what frustrates.
And this would have been a fantastic upset for St Kilda, and they ruined it by umpiring poorly. And that annoys me.
Yeah, it's disappointing. The Saints, they've been, in some ways, they've been a bit of a sleeper.
We wrote them off at the start of the
year. I talked about them a little bit after round one.
Yeah, you talked them up after round one.
I've been trying to say they're all right. I've been trying to push it a little bit.
What you said at the start of the season was so disparaging. I'm a Melbourne supporter. Right. I'm jealous of St Kilda. They're shit on everyone.
All right. I did a backflip on them. But the last few weeks, I've been a little bit positive about them. I've been happy with them. And you look back on their first month now, 1-3, that is not fair.
They don't deserve it. The Bulldogs game...
They got thumped.
The Port game, looking back on it, they may even think they should have done better. And like they probably will give away Port
to play. Yeah,
I think
they played well. Port are unbelievably different at home. They bring something extra.
Yeah, except when they play Adelaide and it's a neutral venue.
That's still a tough task. Yeah. They pushed them for 3 quarters and then, you know, they nearly beat Hawthorn. They've been really good for 3 weeks.
I think they'll definitely, as they start to play easier teams, as their draw gets a little more comfortable, because they've got a very easy set of 5 teams they're doubling up against. I think they're going to have a fairly good end to the year with the way they're going.
They've certainly been, you'd be very happy as a St Kilda supporter. Absolutely. They've got a lot of little dudes. They're a pretty small team.
Them and Brisbane have some pretty exciting mosquito fleets.
But the St Kilda have developed their game plan around.
They run it really well.
They're outrunning teams. That's how they're doing it this year. And it's exciting. You'd be really excited to be a Saints supporter.
Yeah, the thing is, they've also got a decent balance because they've got the tall forwards as well. Bruce is very good. Riewoldt, we all know what he is. And McCartan's starting to really show stuff.
Yeah, you can't be 100% sold on Bruce and McCartan, but
I'm getting there on Bruce. He's been good for...
He doesn't quite have that star attribute.
I think he's... It is when McCartan... If McCartan gets to where St Kilda think he will, Bruce will be the second door forward and he's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, he's never going to be a key number one forward, I don't think.
Well, he was that last year. He kicked 50 goals.
Yeah, it's not going to hold through. He doesn't seem like a star. I can't see it lasting. I can't.
He's got a haircut that makes him think he's a star.
He's an okay forward. He'd do a decent job in a forward line as a second or third forward. But he's not going to be a star.
I think you're underselling him. But anyway, they've got a very good balance. They don't have a whole lot of medium forwards. They tend to be either really agile or really big and strong and impact marking contest. And I think that's a pretty good mix because it allows them to keep forward pressure while also really contesting in the air, which I think a lot of teams can use medium-sized forwards because they're an interesting matchup really well. But I think if teams that segment it as well are all just going to be just as dangerous at times.
Yeah, they're certainly looking all right, Saints.
Very pro positive. Saints after their start of the year.
Yep, definitely.
Hawthorn, they're pretty much the only team I actually know are really good.
Yeah, they are, and they're getting the job done. It's pretty impressive, but they're not killing it the same way as last. There has to be a few question marks. They probably should have lost this week.
They've
been pushed a lot this year.
Yeah.
They lost round one, obviously. They've been pushed the last 2 weeks. Mm. They're not playing great footy.
That's true, but I don't know. They're the barometer. The barometer of the competition for me.
The benchmark would be the word you're looking for.
That's absolutely the word I'm looking for. I stopped myself thinking I was wrong and then said, you know what, I can't think of the right word anyway, I'm going to push forward. they're the benchmark of the competition, and until they're dethroned, I'm going to back them in.
They're like a good team, they're getting the job done, but they're not playing super impressive footy, and I think the premiership is ripe for the taking this year.
Oh, absolutely. It's a fantastically open year.
It's good to see. It's very good to see.
Not as open as I thought it was going to be, because I thought there'd be a couple of more teams that were going to be good, but you know what? Collingwood and Richmond are shit.
All right, mate. Calm down. On to the Q Clash.
On to the Q Clash. The biggest upset of the round, you reckon?
Off the top of my head.
Can't think of a bigger one.
No, it certainly was, actually. We all had a bunch of multis on this week, and they were the ones who screwed everyone over.
It was a very interesting game. Gold Coast just really didn't show up. I think that's discrediting Brisbane a bit, though.
Look, I tipped Gold Coast, so I can't take any credit on it. But I remember I said the exact words last week. You have to keep your eye open for one of those games where they're just not going to turn up. And they're one of those teams that'll do that. They're pretty young. And, they just didn't rock up this week.
Yeah,
The sign of Brisbane just wanted it more.
That's absolutely what
it came down to. And there was that passage of play in the last few minutes, which was one of the match-changing goals, in which I think it was Leicester on the line, tackled May, dived on it, knocked it back out to Green, and they eventually kicked a goal. It was Cutler, kicked a nice banana goal. That was just desperation. That's one of those things where it's a team who don't think they're going to do all that well this year.
Yeah.
And they realise they have a chance in the game, and they are just going at it, and they're just throwing everything at it, and that's what you saw from Leicester in that moment, who's an average player.
Yeah,
but that was a great effort.
It's the classic Melbourne win, right, Scott?
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly right. It's one of those few games a year from a poor team who just find something.
You know this
in the game,
you
so
know this type of game very well.
Yeah,
you're
very experienced. It gets you a lot of passion as a supporter, mate. It does, because it's
the only thing that gave you hope for year on year on year.
These sort of wins, yes. These sort of wins.
Insulting you. Anyway,
I've got nothing, mate. We've been terrible.
This is fantastic. I'm worried you're going to get good, but we'll get to that later. Yep. Let's talk about the Stephen May hit on Steph Martin.
Yeah, serious weeks, you got to say.
Six with his record.
Look, I haven't looked through the law behind it and analysed it that closely. It looks like a 3-4 to me. It was pretty bad, but six is extreme. We've seen some unbelievably dog acts go for six.
Yeah, and think about it this way. He ran past the ball to hit him.
It was bad.
So that's
it. I'm not condoning it.
I think it's intentional. He jumps off the ground, which ensures he's going to hit him high.
Yep.
I just think he did it on purpose. He absolutely poleaxed him in the head, which is something the AFL is really, really passionate about. They're really stringent on it. Because they're going to get sued for bucket loads if they're not.
Yes.
So I think they've got to really hit him hard. This is the exact thing they're trying to rub out.
It was really bad, but I think those 6 or 8 week suspensions, one of those things, which is just like someone just like a barrel punch, like you just smash someone off the ball sort of stuff.
Yeah, to be honest, that probably should have been.
I cannot condone the act. It was awful.
Yeah.
4 weeks sounds reasonable to me, but I think there's a fair chance it will go for more than that because there is such an uproar in the community about it, and the AFL will just want to give a big smack on the wrist for sure.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Just smack him over the head.
Well, that'd just be eye for eye.
Something I want to say about the Gold Coast. Tom Lynch is competing with Lance Franklin, best forward in the competition right now. He is absolutely killing it.
You floated this opinion to me. You said you wanted to be a little bit more outrageous.
He's killing it.
Promote the banter, but you're forgetting one name, Scott. Jared Waite.
Oh, please, Jared Waite.
He's kicked as many goals as Franklin. He's the number one pressure forward in the competition.
Is it going to last? At the end of this year, will we be talking about him in the top 2 or 3 forwards in the competition?
Absolutely. He's finally maturing.
How can you say that? For 10 years, he's been one of the most inconsistent footballers to ever play the game. You can't deny that.
Yeah, and he's played for Carlton.
And he's played 4 good weeks, and then he'll go down.
He's played more than 4 good weeks. His last half of the year was excellent.
Yeah, he was good last. He was pretty good last year, but he wasn't as good as he's playing now, and he wasn't as good as Lance Franklin.
Players develop when they go to good clubs, Scott. No wonder he's finally coming good.
Please.
He's played at Carlton for a decade.
And his year last year was nowhere near as good as the way you talk. You've been talking about him as one of the best forwards in the comp. Last year, he was nowhere near that. He's been one of the best forwards in the comp for 4 weeks, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, so is Tom Lynch.
Yeah, but he's been showing signs for a while, and he's young, and he is looking...
You can't pick and choose, Scott. You've got to take a similar perspective over the entire competition.
My perspective is by the end of the year, Lynch and Franklin will be competing for it because they are, right now, the 2 best forwards in the competition.
Well, one, you're doing a disservice to Josh Kennedy.
I don't think by the end of the year we'll be saying he's as high as the other two.
I think we will.
He loves a flat track, mate. He bloody loves it.
I don't think Buddy's impacting the game as much as you make him out to be.
Buddy Franklin is the most unique player we have seen for a long, long time. He smashes a game in ways no one else ever has.
Yeah, and he also doesn't impact them in ways most key forwards do.
And yeah, he impacts him in a unique way, which is what makes him so special. He dominates games. Buddy is the man. When you're watching a Sydney game, you know Buddy is the man.
I didn't notice that. Oh, he wasn't the best key forward on the ground. I didn't think he was the best key forward on the ground this week. Then I don't think he is at the level he was, and I don't think he's in the best... I don't think he's in the rarefied air you're putting him in.
Do you think Waite's been better?
I think Waite's been just as good. And no, actually, yes. Waite's been better. In the first 4 weeks, yes, he has.
And we know what Lance Franklin... He's kicked 100 goals in a year. We know what he's capable of.
He's kicked 100 goals in a year.
Yes. And was that one of the best years of individual football
you've
seen?
Yes, it's also in a different type of football that was being played at the time.
No, he's the only 100-goal goal scorer for how long?
Oh, well, Fev kicked 99
that
year.
The game's been like that for a long time. Yeah, that was a freak incident as well. The game's been like that for a long time. He's the only one who's been capable for a long time.
I am not saying that Lance Franklin wasn't the best key forward in 2008. I'm saying I don't think he has, with the way he's played in the last 2 years, like last year as well, like before he left, he wasn't playing all that well. Before he had his...
Before he left last year. Okay.
Yeah.
He's still playing all right.
He was playing as one of the best 10 key forwards, not the best 2. And I don't think he's been... Like, he's kicking 4 goals a game. Well done.
Oh, yeah, well done. That's pretty much your argument for Waite, is he's kicking 4 goals a game.
And he's the best pressure forward in the competition, Scott.
He's been the laziest forward in the competition for 10 weeks. Just because he has a crack for 4 weeks doesn't make...
Anyway, we've
got to move on. We've been on this for too long.
We have. I won. Anyway, let's go on. Bulldogs 13-7-85 defeated Carlton 7-7-49 in a very close runner-up to the Gold Jacket-Green Jacket game.
The actual game itself was very much Gold Jacket-Green Jacket. The thing which put it above... The injuries make it very, very interesting.
Mm.
And I'm really, really worried for the Bulldogs.
Well, they've lost... Well, especially with Easton Wood out. I don't know when he's coming back. I haven't really followed up on that. But they've lost three of their halfbacks, which is the strength of their team. Their midfield is excellent, but what really separates them from most teams is the way they can generate run and rebound off the halfback flank. And I think they've lost most of it in Johannesson and Murphy for a long time.
You're right. They have a lot of those sort of players. I'm looking at it less from a playing perspective. I'm looking more from the perspective of their list is at the sort of stage where they... it's really hard to handle it. When you see Hawthorn get those sort of injuries, they are such a well-gelled unit that someone can slot in there, slot into their structures and work it out. Bulldogs, when they lose a few players with the sort of kids they have around and they lose a leader like Murphy, it becomes really difficult for them. And look, in the short term, I will keep tipping the Dogs. I think it's hard not to, and the next few weeks I probably will be, but I think in the long term, this will really hit them hard. Yeah. And they won't be the sort of contender that we were hoping they would be due to this. I don't think they can carry it with the sort of the lack of leadership and experience that they have in their team. It's hard to cover.
We are going to find out, obviously, but I think
I hope they do, man. I really hope they do.
I think your comment on their death is a little, I don't know, it's just a little wrong, to be honest. They're
experience.
Yeah, experience.
I didn't say depth, I said experience.
No, you said depth to begin with.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did,
Scott. I said I'm comparing him to Hawthorn. I didn't say depth, did I?
He indeed did say depth to start with.
I was saying the thing with Hawthorn is that they have the sort of experience that you bring a sort of team. You bring
your
another player in.
Your first point was that you were worried about their depth. Anyway, let me make
my point. No, I'm saying they're a well-gelled structural unit, Hawthorn, so then someone can come in. I'm not saying the doggies don't... It's not leadership. It's not depth that's the issue. It's the fact that they don't have the sort of experience in that team and that sort of well-defined structure over 5 years of playing together that someone can't come in and just slot in. It's not depth. If I say that, I apologize. It's not depth.
Okay. Well, yeah, given they played the most players in the league last year and had the VFL Premiership side and Grand Final side in the last 2 years, I think depth is a little wrong. But also, the fact that they could bring in Jed Adcock helps a little bit. He's obviously not the legend of the club that Murphy was, but he is an older, experienced head. And when they get Easton Wood back, I don't think it'll be as sharp a drop-off as you're making it out to be.
I think it in the long term it will turn out to be... I expect that they'll struggle to cope with it. That's what I expect. In the long term.
Yeah, absolutely fair enough. On to Carlton. I think they're not all that terrible, but they just don't have a forward line.
I think they just have a terrible, terrible list, and I think they're actually, as a Carlton supporter, I'd be pretty happy with how they've done.
Yeah, something.
I really do think Bolton's a very good coach, and I think he's giving them some direction, and I think they haven't been, at no stage this year have they been completely blown out of the water in the way we expected them to be.
Yeah, I don't think you can tell yet whether or not he's a very good coach.
Yeah,
but
true.
I think like their back line, I think Wiedering's going to be an absolute jet. They've got some decent half back flankers in Simpson and Doherty. Their midfield is, I've seen worse, but it's just any opportunity they create, they screw up when they either kick it to Casbolt, who marks it and misses the set shot.
He's improved. He's not as bad now as he was. He's improving.
I don't think I've seen him actually kick a goal this year.
Last year, statistically, he was actually very accurate. Look it up. Not now.
I'll have to.
But no, last year he was actually quite impressive. There was a lot of talk about it.
All right. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, they just waste opportunities in the forward line because they've got no one to capitalise. And I think that's where they've got to develop in the future. And I think they'll get there because I think they'll be down the bottom long enough to get some high draft picks.
Yeah, I can't tell you that word.
No,
from experience, I can't tell you that
word. I was going to go there, but I thought I'd just let you run with it.
Nah, they're struggling a little bit, the Blues, but in the short term, I think they're on a long-term path.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
On to the biggest game of the round.
Belter.
The heavyweight clash between Adelaide and Sydney, where Adelaide won 16-17, 1-13. To Sydney's 15-13-103.
Another good tip from S. Fotheringham. I've nailed the Swans this year.
You have
to give me that. I've been all over them, and even this week I knew that they wouldn't get up. Picked them again. I'm killing it.
You've just got a good read. Although, they're only percentage out of seventh, Scott.
Well, aren't they third and I tipped them as second? I think I'm doing pretty well.
They're percentage out of second too, but
yeah,
still.
Exactly right. I think I'm doing pretty well. I picked the Swannies perfectly.
Yeah, to be honest, I think I overreacted with how they played in the first 3 weeks. I think they're a very, very good side. I don't.
Shit, you're backflipping again. You're doing a backflip on a backflip.
I'm not backflipping.
You said at the start of the year they finished seventh, and then all of a sudden you decide they're genuine premiership contenders. Are going to be top two, and now you're saying, oh, they're not actually that good.
No, I'm saying the competition's more even than there being certainties for top two. I still think they're very good. They didn't show me anything that worries me. With Sinclair out, they lost the ability to swap.
They did not lose any friends.
No, I'm not saying they did. Okay. Well, if you let me finish a point ever, yeah, you'd understand right,
go,
what I'm
go,
saying.
Finish.
With Sinclair out, they lost the ability to swap Tippett and him in the ruck, which cost them a forward option, which they can't really replace at this point in time. Like, yes. Nankervis didn't give them anything.
No.
And it meant that Heaney was pretty much their second forward. And while he's excellent and will be a very good player,
yeah, second forward,
it's too much to handle at that age.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think a lot of their kids, I don't know, I overreacted to the Collingwood game with how well they played.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was terrible. Where my point was coming from, Scott. And I think...
You keep saying how you've overreacted one way or the other. Stick to something, Matt.
I'm sticking to North being the best. but yeah, I just think they're a very, very good side. I don't think they're standing out from the pack at this point.
I think it is a very even competition. I think Sydney are a very, very strong contender.
I agree.
Okay. Good. We started to find
some common ground.
There we go.
There we go. Anyway, do you have anything to say on the game?
Nah, that's all good. All good.
Yeah, it was actually very close statistically. Like, remarkably, there was neither team asserted dominance in any one aspect. Hitouts, clearances, contested possessions, uncontested possessions, all within like five.
It's just a bloody good game of
footy. It was just a cracking game of footy. Finished off with a fantastic Eddie Betts goal, Scott.
Oh, that's right. That's what I want to talk about. The headlines all around. Eddie Betts is the hero. He kicks the Sealers at the end. His second last one, he shoves someone in the back, should have given away a free kick. His last one was the most textbook Eddie Betts goal you'll ever see. All on his own and about 30 metres out from goal. Grabs it, turns around, runs into open goal. Typical Eddie. Once again, stealing the headlines when he doesn't deserve it.
Sometimes you got to know when to run, Scott. And you know he's the second best pressure forward in the game.
When there's no one in the forward 50, just stand there on your own.
That's not how that goal
And then make
unfolded.
All the people do the hard work for you.
He's bred from a contest at the right time.
He did not do the hard work there.
No, he
didn't. I think it was Texan who got it to him.
He didn't do the hard work. He did the smart work. And you need both.
He's not the sort of... There's a reason why he looks so much better at Adelaide. He's in a better team, so he gets a lot easier goals. He's never going to turn a game.
He was fantastic at Carlton.
He's better at Adelaide than he was at Carlton.
Absolutely. Anyone would be better at Adelaide than they are at Carlton.
It is a more exaggerated difference with him.
I disagree.
Because he loves those easy goals.
He does, but every forward loves those easy goals.
All right, speaking of easy goals.
Oh, what a segue.
GWS Port Adelaide. I reckon the 31 goals kicked this week. I reckon about 35 of them were easy goals. This was...
Oh, my God. A round of applause for Scotty.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you, fellas. But
this is where we show our ability to hit the high notes.
This defensive effort from Port Adelaide...
You've just raised the ceiling, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you, as always.
See, that's what I'm talking about when I say support the other podcast.
All right. Let me continue. This defensive effort from Port Adelaide was, I want to say, the worst defensive performance I've seen this year by a long way. Unfortunately, Melbourne do compete with them against Essendon. That was pretty terrible.
No, well, you didn't concede 22 goals against...
Yeah, but that's because we didn't get thumped in the midfield in the same way that Port Adelaide did. Like, it became more obvious for Port Adelaide's defense.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But no, this did still take the cake. This was awful. Every goal GWS kicked, which is out the bat. I can't think of one goal throughout this game in which it looked like a team had to really toil for it and work hard for it. It was just easy goals over the back all the time. And GWS excel at that.
Yeah.
GWS are
quick
really,
and they're skillful.
They're quick and they're a really hard-running team. Mm. They're one of those teams who are really building on that hard-running effort. And they beat Sydney for league speed last week.
Yeah.
And they've done it against Port Adelaide, who are meant to pride themselves on how much they run. Port Adelaide were just flat. They were poor. They got smashed out of the middle. Mummy just ate Logie alive.
like every Ruckman does.
Lobie's terrible. It was different. Like, it wasn't so much the fact that it was beaten in the hit-outs. Yeah, well, like, that wasn't... Because Mummy's not a wonderful
player. Mummy is what Lobie would be if Lobie was good. They try and do the same things.
Okay. Okay, but it's the psychological thing that your big man is just getting physically just beaten down upon.
Yeah.
And that would have killed Port Adelaide.
Absolutely. I just... Watching the game, I thought going in would be a good game.
I've been hoping for Port Adelaide, you know that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I just... Looking at it, I was flat in within about 5 minutes. Exactly. It's going to be an absolute romp.
You could say it's so early.
It was. There's just no accountability from the Port Adelaide defenders and no defensive running from their midfielders.
Yeah.
They just get absolutely eaten alive on the counter-attack. And while their run-off half-back can be okay when Pittard gets it right, for the vast majority of the time, if they turn it over, they fluff it up, which just increases the pressure on a back line that's no good to begin with.
Yeah.
And when you turn the ball over coming out of defence, all your players have zoned off. And for a team that's not accountable, they're not going to get back on their men. They just stand there and wallow.
Yeah.
And teams pick out easy options in the forward 50. Yeah.
Defensively, they are terrible. And geez, you get shown up when they get beat in the midfield. And they got smashed in the midfield because they didn't turn up.
Hmm. I think at some point, questions have to be asked about Hinkley.
Oh, I like Ken. I know you do. I don't think it's not game style. It's not offensive game style,
but they're a serious defensive.
But it worked when they were committing to it.
It worked for a year. You can't say it's outdated. I'm not saying it's outdated.
The doggies are playing a similar way, but they're actually committing to it.
The doggies are playing a similar offensive style. The defensive game plan that Port's doing is, I don't know, let's not stand next to our man because we like seeing uncontested marks in the defensive 50.
Funny thing is with Port Adelaide, I remember their first year they went through a massive flat patch for about 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I remember the Jackson Trengo was out.
Mm.
And I think they might have had another defender out.
Mm.
And once they came back, they started killing it again. Which shows that defence is a bit of an Achilles heel with them.
Yeah.
And their defence is playing awfully at the moment.
But Trengo and Carla, they've all dropped off. Your boy Homsch.
Homschy, yeah.
Isn't looking good. Like,
he was good for a couple of years, Homschy. He was very underrated for a while there, but he's maybe starting
now,
to go
now
to
he's
the level
properly rated and the bar hasn't moved all at
right,
all for him.
All right, it might not last, but yeah.
Yeah, they're just... When you look at them, you don't think it's going to be a low-scoring game, no matter how poorly they play offensively, because they're just going to get eaten alive.
Don't forget how terrible that they were before Ken took over.
That's true.
They're playing very disappointingly now, but they're still a lot better than they were then.
I know, but
he was a great story.
He was, but I think he's also been found out, and he needs to adapt. The team needs to adapt.
Yeah, it'd be handy to have a plan B. It would, but the issue more is that their players aren't committing to what he's trying to give them.
They need to find a plan B and then turn it into plan A, because plan A is just not working at the moment, Scott.
It's not, but I think if they committed to it better, it could work.
Yeah, so I think...
You can't... Their performance on the weekend, you can't blame the coach for. They just didn't turn up. They just weren't prepared to work. They weren't prepared to run like they used to.
Well, you can still... The coach still has a... part to saying that, because he is supposed to be a motivating factor.
Yeah, and he smashed that out against Essendon. He pulled him back in and they came out. Like,
yeah, but
well.
So he can do it every odd week. They got smashed like that against Adelaide.
All right, but I think the players have a fair bit to do with
it. The players do have a fair bit to do with it, but it's seriously getting worrying because there's a lot of talent on that list.
There is. There is, like, I can't deny that.
There's more talent on that list than most.
Yep, and it's disappointing.
And they're just not living up to it, and I think you've got to get worried about it.
I still have hope for Ken, but they are disappointing at the moment. Let's move on to the better game. Dace!
Happy game for you.
Dace!
Melbourne, 16-6, 102. Who said Jesse Ogun can't kick?
Yeah, exactly.
Defeated Collingwood, 9-13-67. As always, when it comes to Melbourne, I'm just going to let you run with it and laugh at your happiness.
Yeah, look, we were bloody good for a quarter and a half. Like, some of the better footy I've seen Melbourne play. I was absolutely buzzing a quarter time, and then it looked like it was going to keep rolling, and I was thinking, for the first time, let's actually smash a team. But
Oh, you won by nearly 40 points.
I wasn't a smashing, mate. It was at three-quarter time, I was nervous. I was nervous for half.
Yeah, but you're nervous because you're used to Melbourne being terrible. Yes. I saw the score and saw the game, how it was being played. That was no contest.
You watched it to half-time and then you watched it all
at
Melbourne.
And it was half-time at the start of the fourth quarter. And I was like, Melbourne have got this. Collingwood are terrible.
Yes, Collingwood are terrible.
Have a bit of confidence.
It was a really, really bad half of footy in the second half. The last quarter was dreadful footy, just turnovers everywhere. Mm. We won the game because no team could score because everyone was just turning it over.
Good defensive pressure from you then, Scotty.
Yeah, no, look, we got the job done. I have to be happy. And the thing with it, I actually don't think we played to our ability for the first 4 weeks. I think we were fantastic against North Melbourne last week. Outside
the three
of that,
quarters, yeah. You can't give yourself the first quarter against us.
Okay,
you
yeah, that's a fair point. We played three wonderful quarters. We played bloody well for the other three. But we haven't quite played to our standard. We're still sitting 2-2. And that's not a Melbourne thing to do. So it shows that the fact that I've been saying we've improved, that has to be true. That we're actually able to get wins while we're not playing out of our skins, which was the only way.
Yeah, you weren't going to win those games this time last year, this time the year before. You were just going to roll over and get beaten.
No, you could only win a game if you played absolutely out of your skins and just with so much passion.
And now you've got your ball movement, your skill level's actually at a point where you can coax that past a bit of effort.
Exactly.
Like, you don't have to be manic at the football. You don't have to smash contested ball and tackles and all that to get a win. You can do it through skill, through polish, which is a fantastic sign for you, and it's when you can tell the side's actually becoming okay.
The other real good sign with us is our seconds at the moment doing
smashing it
unbelievably well. We have about five or six players who are just banging the door down, and they can't get a game. Petrarca's not getting a game because
he's got to come in soon, surely.
I hope so. I still feel like
surely,
he's going to be
coming. So
apparently played 85% game time, which is nearly a full game.
No, that's
about a full game. The week before he didn't.
Yeah.
The week before he didn't play a full game. I think they might give him one more week. I'd love to see him. I'm getting very, very impatient about it. But he's not getting a game because they want to get his fitness up. But someone like Alex Neil Bullen is absolutely killing it. For four, what, was it in 3 weeks now? I don't know.
Two games of VFL.
Yeah, and there was one practice game where he absolutely dominated all three of them. And he ain't getting a game. And I don't think he will this week either. And that's a really, really positive sign for Melbourne. Because we're not giving him a spot.
You've got Bernie to come back as well, which is a
hopefully
huge
Jeff.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, what's your fitness coach's name again?
Missing, yeah.
Yeah, mate, we'll see if he comes out and says, "Oh no, he's definitely playing this week."
There's absolute certainty he's going to play this week. 2 weeks later, he's telling us it'll be another 2 weeks. But anyway,
I don't know how you diagnose something that poorly. You're paid to do this.
Well, yeah, you can't always judge it, but
yeah,
it's
a
bit frustrating.
Like, the way you respond, like someone, I think, tweeted that they saw Jeff Garlett roll his ankle, and he came out and said, "Oh, this report's rubbish.
Yeah,
he's got no idea what he's got." Like,
it's
disappointing. You're just being a dick, and you've been made to look like an asshole because you got it wrong too.
We'll beat the Tigers next week, so there we go.
I will tip you. We'll get to that as well. Anyway, on to the most satisfying game of the round.
Turn it off.
With Scott's advice to listeners, stop listening now.
Yep.
Skip to the mailbag.
Just go, mate. I'll tune out here. Just go.
No, I need your input because then I can laugh at you.
All right.
North Melbourne, 2012. I forgot to write our score. 132. defeat Frio, 14-17, 101. It wasn't good maths. So I knew the score off the top of my head. I've watched the highlights a few times, seen the scores.
I say the maths.
Anyway, guess who's top of the ladder, Scott?
Would you be the worst 4-0 team to ever play?
Absolutely not. In 2006, we were 5-0 and far worse than we are now. So you can go jump off a cliff.
2006?
Yeah.
Good memory.
Thank you, Scott. We lost the next four in a row. It was a fun start to the year and then a shitty end.
All right, but you can't say you have been a dominant 4-0 team.
No, but I don't. We've had a mediocre draw. The Adelaide win looks excellent.
No, you've had a soft draw.
The Adelaide win looks excellent.
It was here, and it was a good win. Yes.
Now, the way they're playing, it's a fantastic win. They look great. They're the flavour of the competition at the moment.
Yeah, it's not as if you beat Hawthorn. It's not quite the same.
Fair enough. It's still a good win.
If it was in Adelaide, you definitely would have lost. The close game it was, but
we'll see in round
15. All right, you've had you have a very soft early draw, and it gets tough after that.
It does, it does. We'll see if it lasts. Brisbane look like they're, what, going to come 14th, 15th, 16th, so that's a pretty easy game. We've had Melbourne who...
Should have beaten you.
Yeah, if we weren't good. You say that, but...
You know it.
We're
You've
better
said
than
it
you
before.
And we won. I have not said it.
You said we outplayed you on a day. You said that.
I said it in a moment of weakness then. and then we beat Frio, who are probably the best 0-4 team we've seen in a long time. They're starting to put it together. Like, this was a much better performance than they've played.
They've been pretty bloody terrible all this time.
The good sign for North is we are playing very poorly defensively. And we're still getting the job done because our forward line is dynamite, led by Mr. Potential himself, Jared White.
Yeah, all right. Your forward line's going well. Your forward line is... You have a very good even spread in your forward line.
That's the thing. We've got a bucket load of options up forward, which makes us
That is absolutely your biggest strength.
Well, we had 7 goal kickers kick over 20 goals last year, and that looks like being the same this year. I think a lot of our issues come from lack of midfield defence. Where our contested ball, I think, might be inflated because there's so many centre bounces, which means there's so many extra stoppages with the way we're scoring.
Okay.
That's my theory, because we're somehow really high up in the stats for it.
Differential might not be so positive.
Yeah, that's my thinking. But I think... one thing I've noticed, a lot of our players panic when they're getting tackled at a stoppage and sort of fling the ball out unnecessarily. And it's kind of annoying me because the midfield we play isn't all that quick on the outside. That's pretty well known. I generate our speed from is when we get it out to the wings and the half backs and half forwards. And when we just fling it out, we tend to get beaten to the ball, and I really don't like the way we're doing it. In some senses, I'd almost prefer if they gave away the holding the ball free kick, because it means we could set up defensively. And I don't know, it just seems a perverse way. We get tackled and decide, let's fling it out to 3 Frio players standing by themselves who we know are standing there because we saw them set up that way for a stoppage. Like, I don't know, just a pet peeve.
He's getting grumpy.
It happened all the time.
He's getting grumpy.
And we still won by 5 goals, so that's how you know we're good.
Yeah, you don't quite have the genuine stars that the best teams have, and that is why I'm not concerned at all that you're gonna win the flag. I'm not concerned.
Our best player is pretty much as good as anyone's, Scott.
Who's that?
Todd Goldstein, best ruckman in the game.
He did get his crown taken off him last week by Maxi Gould.
So this is
thanks
when we're
to
this.
Ben Gibson on foxsports.com.au.
We have had
Max Gould is the best big man to ever play the game.
We've talked about the numpty that had decided Paddy Ryder was the second best tap ruckman in the game. This guy's an even bigger idiot.
Oh, please.
After one game where Max Gordon
conceded
5 goals.
Yeah, he Benny Gibson knew about the soft freeze here, which we discussed in detail last week.
That was still Max Gordon's fault.
There was one which was a 50-metre penalty that wasn't Max's fault, and the other one was just the most ridiculous decision.
Max Gorn gave away... Anyway, we've been through this. Goldstein's better.
Maxi! Best big man ever, mate.
I don't care where you go, but just get that crap out of here.
Smashed him in the rut.
Absolutely
smashed
did
him.
Not. Did you know Goldstein... Hit out, launch more scores in that game.
Mate, you're just guessing what that score launches stat means. You don't even know.
That's true, but Goldstein had more of them.
It doesn't deny it.
Goldstein had more of them.
Yeah, 20 hit outs to advantage for Maxi, I think it was.
Yeah. And
it's quite good.
It's all right, Scott. Not beating Goldstein's record.
Probably not, no. But
no,
still,
definitely not.
Yeah,
I know
but Goldstein him. Was the best, and his crown was taken off him last week.
No, it wasn't. It absolutely wasn't.
All right.
Anyway, for Frio, I think the most positive game they've played all year.
Yeah, I mean, they kicked over 100 points. That has to be.
That's the second time they've done that this year.
Yeah, so that they are trying to change something. I've given my rant last week. I can't be bothered getting into it again.
Yeah, well, I think their stoppage work got more back to normal. They were slightly they're definitely stronger defensively at the stoppages. They didn't let it just be easy out the back goals when they didn't man up on anyone.
Good to hear.
But they still maintained their ability to score from it. I think they kicked most of their goals from stoppages, which is unusual. Most teams score it from turnovers. But the big worry is still the way they turn the ball over. There are some shocking missed targets. Collingwood-esque,
Which,
I would say, which is not a good sign.
I take Collingwood a Freo-esque.
Okay.
I would say that. They have some shocking turnovers.
But yeah.
And Ross can blame his players and his ball users and all that. And there is definitely that to an extent. But I think there is an issue with the fact that they, a lot of the time, they have nothing to give to, and that's why they panic and make mistakes.
This game, it wasn't so much that. It was
okay.
It was actually just flat-out missed targets.
Take
and like,
word for it, I was watching the D's get up.
I know, Scott. I know. But, yeah, just, like, handballs over people's heads they're free. And
was it Sheridan again?
No, it was someone to Daniel Pearce. Which, fair enough, missing Daniel Pearce. He's so short, but... Like, it's still a target you should hit. And it cost them a goal, actually, the one I'm thinking of. But, yeah, North scored 12 goals from turnovers. And we are very good at turning turnovers into goals. It's one of the things we're really excelling at this year. But it's still, that's 12 goals is a huge amount. And it was, like, 12-10 or something as well. It wasn't. We didn't kick straight from them.
Yep, that does sound like the Dockers.
Yeah.
I am surprised.
I think they'll be better. I don't think they're going to... stay this bad.
They're
all
a long
year.
Way back now.
I don't think they'll make finals, but I don't think they'll be this bad all year.
Yep.
Anyway, on to a segment I've named Rory's Extraneous Topics because Scott made me give it a segment title.
Gee, that's a clever name, Rory.
I think so.
That's just sharp stuff. Some of the sharpest stuff I've ever
Look how many syllables there are in extraneous. That's a lot of
syllables.
Just
good English. Excellent English.
I might have passed year 12. I might have.
We're going to think of a better title for it, guys.
Okay. But yeah, my question, what I want to talk about is the way Key Forwards are kicking bags again.
Do you think
it's going to last? And do you think it's up to game style or better Key Forwards in the game?
I think it has to do with game style. I think we're seeing more goals this year. We're seeing more open forward lines. We've seen a very defensive game for a couple of years. They're kicking more goals. And as a result, so are the big forwards.
Yeah, see, scoring's only actually up about 2 points per game.
Yeah, you mentioned this before, and that definitely surprises me.
I think it's 2 points per side per game, which is still less than a goal.
But I still... I think you could say the best teams are still scoring a lot more than they did in previous years, and that's why we're seeing a few of those top forwards kicking a lot more goals because they're in a better team and they are scoring more.
North are averaging over 120 points a game, and
I don't think anyone brings it up again.
We are the top scoring team in the comp.
Yes, I know that. You're also conceding a few, but go.
I think I'm allowed to bring us up as a benchmark of the competition as a forward line. But no, like the best team, like the top scoring team this time last year, I don't think would have been anywhere near.
No, absolutely not. It's good to say. It's really good to say.
It's absolutely fantastic. But I do think it's more to do with, there's a little to do with not just the faster flowing game, but the way teams are structuring up forward. I think teams are, they're doing the get over the back. Is a lot as well, but they're also keeping sort of a longer field at times and letting key forwards stay at home, which is allowing them to actually capitalise on the inside 50s. It's not just small players flooding through all the time.
Yeah, I'd say that's still symptomatic of the change of game style.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I just don't think it's purely because there's more shots to be had.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's the way that they've changed. The game has changed due to the rules and there's more scoring and stuff, and I think that the fact that there are those not open forward lines.
All I did was expand on your point, Scott.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were trying to debate me, Matt.
Absolutely not. I just expanded on your point.
All right. Well, I prefer a debate. Mate. I'm a budding lawyer. I like arguing.
Look at you toot your own horn. I'm a budding lawyer.
I am studying law.
Oh, yeah, because you'll get a job. Anyway, let's go to
brutal.
Take that, Scott.
All right.
Let's go to Pooch's Mailbag, everyone's favourite segment.
Rory's actually coined it Pooch's Mailbag. I've been pushing it for a while.
In the rundown, it is Pooch's
Mailbag.
We have a show full of questions.
He better have sent a question in this week.
He did send in a question.
Whitey might be taken. It could be Whitey's Mailbag, so.
It's Anne Frank's Mailbag, if that's what we're doing.
All right, that's a bit dark, all right.
Well, alrighty, fellas. First question we got. It's a two-part question right here. The first part is, on a scale of one being devastated beyond belief,
One, two being devastated.
Yeah, one, two being devastated beyond belief. Come on, horribly written question when I wrote that. How does Fox feel about A, North Melbourne being the only undefeated team thus far this season, and B, living with two North Melbourne supporters?
Look, before we start, I want to say that it was your girlfriend who sent it in. Yeah. look, it could be a lot. I could be a lot more devastated. If Melbourne had been getting thumped, I would be wanting to kill myself right about now. The one time which I was desperate for North Melbourne to lose was after the Essendon game. I so badly wanted to lose then. The funny thing, on the tram on the way back from the Melbourne game, I was checking the scores, and I was actually a little bit torn of who I wanted to win out of North and Frio, because I have a few mates who had a few bets on, and I really wanted them to get up. They had bets on North winning, and I kind of got home, and I sat down the couch, and I'm like, no, I'm not torn anymore. God, I want Frio to win. I really want Frio to win, but it could be worse. It could be worse.
Alrighty. Next question is, why do Richmond suck so much?
Well, we've been through part of this, but I think it's more game plan than Scott does.
Yeah.
But you think it's just the players that we've got.
I think the game plan seems to be falling down at the moment.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Hardwick should be under as much pressure as he is, because I think that their list is pretty poor.
Yeah, I do think the way they've gone after players in trades and free agency, not got them.
How is Yaron going to help them? They don't have any contested players. Why is Yaron going to help
Yaron,
them?
I get the thinking behind Yaron. If Yaron does what every Carlton player has done and improves when he goes to another team,
Jeffy,
Jared, he'll be able to sort of give them a bit more purpose coming out of the back. Like, he can break the lines. He's quick. We know that.
Yeah, that mate. That's not where they're falling down. They have some loose users.
Hooley's excellent, but like with the way they bring the ball out, they chip it from side to side. They don't actually have many penetrating runners.
Well, that's what Ellis does. Just to go back on our point.
At some point, I'd like to make some progress in our discussions.
all right.
But you keep just winding it back, Scott. But no, he'd give them a lot more penetrating run than anyone else on that list. Like, who takes running bounces for Richmond?
True, but it doesn't have to be a run. Like, you can set up
know you can't, but having variety in the way you set up from halfback and attack from halfback can only be a good thing. And that's why I get what they were trying to do. I think their draft choices have been quite underwhelming. Like, they picked Vlosten at number 9, and he is just a guy that can...
He's a medium defender. But he hasn't improved.
But, he doesn't really offer anything offensively, and doesn't... He's not quick, he's not all that tall, he's not a key back. They've wasted a lot of picks on sort of middling types, which I would be frustrated at if I was...
Yeah.
A Richmond supporter.
You're right. They have two issues. They rely too much on their top end, and they don't have enough contested players.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Alrighty. Next question. Shout outs to our old Carey Cricket Club right here.
Ooh.
Coach sending us in a question.
Another one of our mates.
Do this season's rule changes take the game past Ross Lyon?
That's a good question. I can understand.
You are surprised by how good the question that is, Scott, which is just unfair to Cal.
I think he's a very intelligent man, Cal. But that's,
didn't come across the way you reacted there, Scott.
No, I'm just pleased with how the question is. It stumps me a little bit. It's a difficult question. I understand the logic behind it, that it's creating a more attacking game and all that. I don't know if it all comes down to that. I think they've tried to tinker with their game plan because of the fact they weren't scoring enough last year, as opposed to the rule changes, and I think they're struggling to adapt to that. I think that is their issue a lot more than the actual rule changes themselves.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mix. I think Ross Lyon's game plan that he had for the last 3 years wasn't going to work in the sort of climate, the way the AFL's been playing, and he adapted to it. He did make changes. But I don't think the list he has suits the new game style of the AFL.
Yeah, you're on the list.
And,
I
think... I could see Ross Lyon coaching a side well if he had a list that was built to play a game style that was more attacking and had to score because other teams were scoring. I could see him rising to that challenge. but not with this list. There are too many turnover merchants playing for Freo.
In the back line there is, for sure.
Yeah, and
that's why Michael Johnson's so important to him.
Yeah,
well,
and
there is injured days.
The big thing about the way the game's changed is a lot of attacks have been created off the halfback flank. Like, it's become
that's
one
true.
Of the most important positions in the game, and
that's
they just
true.
Don't have good halfback flankers. And, like, that's not really his fault.
I still think he can help out his back flankers a lot more if he had better ball movement and better...
I think so, but he also doesn't have bailout options because they don't have a tall forward.
Yeah, well, Pav's... Yeah, Pav is...
Pav
over the hill,
actually
that's
good on the weekend, but
yeah,
that was
well over
that was when he was crumbing balls, not taking marks. Like, they played him in the midfield half the game.
Tabernard's not up to it.
No, not at all. And they just... They don't have either of the ways you can sort of bullshit your way out of defensive 50. So they just... Ross Lyon can't create a game plan that goes with the rule changes, which I don't think is the only reason the game's changed. But, yeah, he's not been able to adapt more than he can't adapt, in my mind.
I feel like he changed his game plan more, not because of the rule changes, just because he realised there were a few shortfalls last year.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with his inability to adapt quickly enough, and hopefully he turns it around because I think he's a great coach.
Yeah,
but
I think the way they were conceding from stoppages was him was a coaching error,
and he's turned that around.
And
he's, so.
I,
yeah.
I think he's
I hope you're right. I really
fixed
hope
that
you're right.
Quite a bit.
I
like,
seriously hope you're right.
Yeah.
All righty, move on.
All right, next question. I think this is particularly for Scott. And this is, will Jack Watts win the Brownlow?
Give it to him now. You know, last year that they were paying out Fife on the Brownlow?
Yeah.
Let's do it for Wattsy. Why not? He's going to win it at the end of the year. We know it.
I think he'll come second, personally. I think Jared Wade will win it.
Look, Maxi could maybe jump him. I don't know.
Goldie's a decent shot, but they're the only four players I can see winning it.
At least they'll all be in the All-Australian team except for Jared Wade. So that's the important thing.
Jared Wade's the All-Australian in the All-Australian team if you pick it now, Scott.
Correct.
Ooh.
Yeah, so screw you, Scotty.
Now.
All right.
On to the next question.
Next question. Do you believe in the importance placed on disposals? Is it justifies?
Yeah. Ooh, where does that come from?
Oh, it's all the way from Malaysia.
Okay, so Whitey again.
Yeah.
He could take a title over this mailbag.
He could. He had a much more in-depth question that I didn't think would suit the format of the podcast, because I feel like he was making points that were the only reasonable points, so we should make them instead to sound smart.
Fair enough. No, I actually do think there probably is too strong emphasis on disposals.
Yeah.
There are a lot of very good players who get completely forgotten. Like, it's especially, I think it's more noticeable for interstate players. When we look at an interstate team, we look at the top three possession getters, and they're the only players we remember.
Mm.
And if someone gets a 20 to 25 and uses them really, really well and is good in the contest and stuff like that, we don't really think about that because they're not in the possessions. And there's no other sport in the world which exaggerates it to that extent.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons Rory Sloane was underrated for a while.
Yeah,
he was hovering around that range.
I say
Hamish Hartlett
Charlie,
as well,
yes.
But I think it's being shown a lot at the moment with the way Richmond are playing. They monopolise the ball a lot and can't create anything with it. Essendon are the same. And it's fantastic that they're at least able to get their hands on the ball, but with the talent they have available, they can't really do anything with it. And teams like the Dogs have the most win the most disposals in the game, and they're a fantastic offensive team.
Yeah.
But that's not the only way to score. Adelaide don't have anywhere near as much ball as they do. They are much more direct in the way they attack. North are, as much as you're going to laugh at me for saying it, we are like 11th in disposals, and we're the top scoring team.
Oh, maybe it'll catch up to you, mate.
Maybe.
Not enough ball.
But I don't think the be-all and end-all is how many times you get the ball. It's what you do with it.
Yeah, I still... Look, it's still an important stat. If you get 10 disposals, you can't have that bigger impact on the game.
No. As much as Bruce would like to tell us, Cyril.
Yeah, exactly right. Cyril's a very good player, but there is a limit to it.
Yeah.
So you have to put something on the ability to get the ball. That is bloody important. You can't make an impact without having the ball a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But it does get exaggerated for sure.
Alrighty, next question. How many points will Sydney win the grand final by?
This is from this is from a future guest on the subject. We should announce
Stringer,
that now.
Stringer,
who's going to bring us Stringer's innovations.
Well, I'm excited. Where are you going to sit on this question, Rory? I mean, one week you're telling me that they're not any good, and the next week you're telling me that they're going to win the flag.
He asked me, now they suck.
I don't know where you're going with it.
He asked me last Monday, and I was like, right, 100 points at least. Now I don't even think they'll get there.
That's a good answer. I think my second prediction's looking pretty good.
Yeah, they're right in contention. But I don't really feel comfortable saying though. I don't think they're premiership favourites.
Next week you'll say they'll win by 10 goals.
No, they're only playing West Coast.
Mr. Backflipper Rory, okay.
I wish I could do a backflip, that'd be awesome.
Next question, all the way from Brisbane, this one, the Poochie special. Should there be a send-off rule?
This is an interesting one. He was referring to the Stephen May incident.
Yes.
Where he absolutely knocked Steph Martin out cold. Martin was out for the rest of the game. It seems a bit perverse that he can do that and May plays for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And they're a man down while a guy who's committed a fairly grievous offence.
Yeah, like, I suppose
can't keep running around.
I can't see any reason why not.
Yeah,
for some reason I'm a man of habit, as you know.
We have made him change car parking spots at the supermarket and crack the shits.
I'm a traditionalist, and a lot of the times I struggle with a lot of these things. And I've been trying really hard to support the rule changes this year, and I think a lot of them could do a good job if I stuck with them. But this is one of those, like, I just struggle to say, yeah, let's go for it. But I can't see any reason why not. Like, a lot of sports do
it. It just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Last question. How much blame for Collingwood's performance can be placed on Buckley's game plan? And how much should be placed on the fact that they just can't kick?
Does that come from Alex as well?
Yes, it does.
look, I have issues with Buckley. I really do. I've tried to be a Buckley fan, but you cannot argue with the results. Every year they have got worse under him, and I think they have a very, very good list, and they are not performing to their ability, and I think the coach has to have a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I think there's more than one issue with the way Collingwood's playing. One of the biggest ones is that they can't kick and they turn the ball over a lot in very inopportune circumstances. Like, Dean Kent kicked a goal by intercepting a ball in the goal square.
What a sick Kent.
But, like, you just... Yeah, and the Frost goal. Like, they're just shocking turnovers, and they're right up there as the worst exponent of turning the ball over in the game.
They're lacking... They were awful against... They're, like, lacking so much confidence.
Yeah,
they just have no idea, and look, the players have to take some rap, obviously.
But there's also
there has to be heat on Buckley.
There's also they don't work hard defensively either. They zone off in a system that doesn't work because they don't close on the ball when it's kicked. They allow a lot of short passes through the zone, which shouldn't happen. Like, there's a better way to stop the ball than zoning, not near someone.
Yeah,
that doesn't help.
Yeah, you don't know if that's because of direction or if that's because of the players.
Well, the thing is,
direction.
I'm like quite certain it's because the direction, because they're standing around pointing at each other where to go while the ball's being kicked in. That's just unacceptable, and that is definitely partly Buckley's fault.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's given them great direction and they're struggling to communicate it out and feel they don't have enough leadership. You could argue that. I'm just being I don't know.
But I think it is. I think a lot is on Buckley's shoulders, and I think he's under a lot of pressure, quite rightly.
Yeah, he should.
He's got. What should be for Collingwood a free hit against Essendon, and their draw coming up.
We'll
get to that. But their draw coming up should be their saving grace. But they're playing awful, and they could blow all of them.
Yeah. Let's not forget they did lose to a great team in Melbourne this week, so you got to give them a bit of a chop out.
I didn't forget that they lost to Melbourne. I did forget when Melbourne became a great team. Sorry, I missed that memo.
Yes, all right. All right. Let's do our tips.
On to the tips. I've got some catching up to do. We'll start with a cracker of a game on Friday night, which I think we've decided we're going to head to.
Oh, we got
to
go.
We got to go. Hawthorn, Adelaide.
Interesting, eh? I can't not tip against Hawthorn.
Yeah, I kind of want to tip Adelaide because I reckon it'd be fun to go for them. But yeah, Hawthorn.
You have to. But gee, it's going to be very interesting to see where the competition's at.
Yeah, if Josh Gibson's out, it will be huge for Adelaide because I think they'll able to get on top of Hawthorn's back six without him, because I think he was missed massively against St Kilda. But I can see Hawthorn's midfield running wild, and their offense is just fantastic. So
yeah, I mean, like, I'm excited about Adelaide, but I'm not 100% sold yet. I think if they even really push Hawthorn, we're starting to see real credentials. So
yeah, absolutely. I think I think we came close to seeing real credentials last week, and this will just really affirm that in my mind.
This would make it confirmed.
Another cracking game, Sydney West Coast.
Ah, the Swannies, mate. My Swannies. They've been right all along. I'll tip them right again. They'll win.
Yeah, I think they'll win. They're playing at the SCG. That's a fortress there.
It's no flat track for West Coast.
No, West Coast have got to travel an absolute mile.
Yeah.
I just think Sydney in Sydney, you can't go against them. West Coast, I'm hoping will put up a real fight, because they really need...
It could be a great game.
They really need to show something, given the way they performed against Hawthorn the last time they faced a really good side.
Yeah.
They've got to show everyone that they're not just flat track bullies.
It's a massive game for them.
If they stand up, and if it's a good game, like if it's a similar game to the Adelaide Sydney game, I'd consider that a pass mark.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
But they can't get blown out, they can't get beaten comfortably. They've got to put in a real effort. Yeah.
Big question marks for them, and big week for them for sure.
Absolutely. Now we've got a huge game. Huge game. We've got Gold Coast, North Melbourne.
I've got to tip your boys.
Oh, yes you do. Top of the ladder. I'm not confident, to be honest. We've lost the last three against the Gold Coast. Even when they're playing terribly, we somehow lose to them. We played them the 2 weeks Gary Appler played in the year last year, and he lit us up.
Yeah. I remember that, actually.
I was furious. There's no Charlie Dixon to kick seven on us this year, so fingers crossed Tom Lynch doesn't go nuts. But no, we should win. They put in a terrible effort last week, so they'll probably come out quite intense, but if our season has been an accurate reflection of where we'll be at the end of the year, we'll win this game.
Yeah, you got to win this. You look back on the Gold Coast last month, and we've been really positive every week. Look back on it now, it's not as good as we thought. They lost to Brisbane.
We forgot to do our weekly segment, Scott. Aaron Hall watch.
Oh, yeah, he was pretty average this week. He made a lot of turnovers.
He was average. Yeah.
He made a lot of mistakes.
He was pretty good for a normal player, but he did make some costly mistakes.
Made
26 touches, one goal, three.
Mate, we just said the disposal statistics get exaggerated.
I know, but
he made a lot of errors. He wasn't great.
He still offered a lot of run and a forward presence, but, yeah, not his best game. You'd expect that after. He can't maintain the 40 for the form he was in, so... But yeah, hopefully he has another down week.
I won't be able to rip into you about it next week. No. He plays poorly.
On to the next game. Western Bulldogs, Brisbane.
Yeah, well, as I said, in the short term, you got to go to the Doggies. Brisbane, despite beating Gold Coast, I still don't rate very highly. And I think the Doggies should get the job done.
I have hope for Brisbane. I think the way they move the ball is really attractive and really dangerous. But... even with the outs the Doggies have, you still got to go them. Their draw, being at Etihad for the next few weeks, should hopefully allow them to bank a few wins before they get the real tough part of their draw. But yeah, it'd be very interesting to see the way they play, because they looked a bit lost at sea against Carlton when they had players coming off.
They made them comfy.
They did, but they were up by a mile, and then in the last half, Carlton had about 18 inside 50s in a row. So there were serious worries, but I think that I'm hoping that was just as much fatigue, because they had quite a few players hobbled. Like Suckling went off for a while with an ankle, came back on. Boyd went off for a while with a shoulder. Roughhead went off for a while. Yeah, like they had a lot of players that were out of the rotation for a little while. So I'm hoping it was fatigue more than anything.
Yeah, you can't get past Doggies.
Absolutely not. Port Adelaide, Geelong in Port Adelaide.
Tough tip. I'm going to try to stick with Port.
Yeah.
I reckon they are a better team at home. Geelong, I'm not 100% sold on. I reckon Port just... It's a tough tip. I thought about it for a while.
The Adelaide Oval's a coliseum, and I think it lifts any team that plays there just emotionally more than anything. But I think Geelong are mature and experienced enough to combat that. I think they're a better side. They've performed better. They won their last year with the most bizarre game from Reece Stanley I've ever seen. He played an absolute dynamite half and got injured. It was really odd. But I just think the way Port defend won't be able to handle Tom Hawkins.
Hopefully that's not an issue if they actually turn up in the midfield this week. Well, not as much of an issue.
Yeah, and the thing is, both sides, if it could be just be who shows up, because both of them have been up and down in the midfield.
Which I'm back and Port to do at home.
I'm going to hopefully close some of the gap and go Geelong. But, I'm going to be annoyed if they don't get up.
Poor Justin.
Anyway, St Kilda GWS at the Etihad.
Yeah, it's another, this is another interesting one. I actually had to think about this as well. I like what St Kilda are doing. It could be a pretty good game to watch because they're both playing a pretty fast, hard-running game of footy. I'm going to go with GWS.
Justin. Yeah, I feel the same. I'm very tempted to go St Kilda. I think it'll be a cracking game. I think it'll be end-to-end, and especially under the roof. I think it will be immaculate football. I think it'll be a very open game. I
hope it's not disappointing because poor GWS last week.
No, but yeah.
Yeah, GWS.
You've just flattened me horrifically with that thought. I'm really sad now, Scott. But yeah, I think GWS will get on top. I think they're just a little bit better. Not a whole lot, but a little bit.
Yeah.
On to Freo Carlton at Domain.
Oh, surely they're doing now, mate.
Yeah, no.
Sure.
They'd have to. If they don't win this game, they're getting into more winning game for the year territory.
Yes. Well, they'll win.
They'll
definitely win.
They'll beat Carlton. They're a better team. They'll win the midfield. Cruz is not going to really make Griffin look terrible because neither of them are great, Tap Ruckman.
Griffin's not too bad, but yeah.
Yeah, but that was my point. Neither of them are too bad.
Griffin's as a ruckman, he's better than Cruz, but it doesn't matter.
Anyway, and I think Frio's midfield should have the game on their terms, and when the game's on their terms, I think they can still kick a winning score and defend enough.
Frio for sure.
Melbourne, Richmond.
We're both going the D's, aren't we?
We're both going the D's. This is me going. This is me being conservative to not lose another tip because I tipped Collingwood last week and I'm regretting it. So I'm going Melbourne because if I'm wrong, you're wrong.
I'm never confident, but I think we should win.
No, I still don't think they'll be Deledio. Marriage might come back, but Gorn will still give him a bath.
Of course he will. He's the best big man to ever play the game.
You won't be invited back, Scott. Stop talking this trash.
Bernie back. Hopefully Jeff back.
Yeah, no, you should be too good. Richmond are just playing awfully with no confidence, no ball movement.
No.
Sunday night, hopefully a big crowd. Just can't see him getting it done.
Yes.
And on to the biggest game of the season in terms of ceremony.
Oh, but no, this is... We thought this was going to be the flattest game ever. We thought this was going to be awful. This is actually really interesting this week.
Yeah, it is.
If Essendon can serve it up to Collingwood...
Essendon are a real shot.
Yeah, I think definitely. I'd still tip Collingwood. But
yeah, absolutely. I think...
I hope it's interesting.
It's just the weapons Collingwood lack, I don't think will really be hurt. I don't think Essendon will be able to punish what Collingwood lack. Like, the way Collingwood turned the ball over, I don't think Essendon's forward line is able of capitalising on it. I think the midfield, if Collingwood's midfield shows up, they'll be able to match and win against Essendon's, even though Essendon's midfield's actually been playing well. But yeah, Collingwood have to win this, surely. Yeah.
We know Collingwood should, but there is a possibility they won't. That'd be very...
There's a possibility they'll do a Melbourne. I don't think they will. Can you believe you lost to Essendon?
Yeah, alright. Alright, Collingwood.
Collingwood for me as well. So we've only got the one difference, don't we?
Yep. Look forward to getting another win on you, man.
I've been right on Port. I've said they've been
bad all year. We'll see this way.
Haven't backflipped. Anyway, thanks for listening. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/plebsonfooty. Well named. I am on Twitter @plebroryf. Oh, actually, I was on TV the other night. One of my tweets got on TV.
Cool, man.
How exciting is that?
Great news, mate.
It is great news.
Absolutely stoked.
I can tell you're smiling ear to ear.
I'm just laughing at you, mate.
No, you're not. You're jealous. It was a cracking tweet, too. Something about the dogs liking to switch the ball. It was genius. Basil Zemplis was impressed.
Please, I didn't see it. Very pleased.
No, it was a cracker. He's a cracker. Comment.
Well done, Rory. Hey, come on,
yeah,
wrap it up.
I can be reached on Twitter at @PlebRoryAFL. As seen on Channel 7. Yeah, Scott's lazy and can't. He did contribute to our social media profile, but I think it was a one-off. Is it a one-off?
Oh, it was accidental. I meant to do it as myself. I accidentally sent it through the page.
Yeah, it's a one-off. Anyway, accidental. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to
Maxi!
You. Maxi! He's not as good as Goldstein.